At the start of the next shift, most of the sick were out of the med boxes and clearly recovering. Her spirits rose further. When Hugh came up to her on the bridge, she felt capable of dealing with whatever was coming next.
Captain, could I speak to you privately?
Of course.
Kai led the way off the bridge to her quarters.
I'm concerned about some of the crew. I know they've been with you a long time.
You're talking about the crew from my old ship?
Yes. Although there's also a potential problem with some of the crew you hired later. I don't know if you're aware of it, but you've created a situation in which the ship crew is entirely civilian in background and attitude, except for me as your exec, and the fighting crew is entirely military.
I'm not sure I follow. Why is this a problem?
Attitude, mostly. This latest incident is an example of what can go wrong.
The probable cause came in with one of the fighting crew, and he wasn't immune to it.
True. The problem spreads... Look, just let me explain. Take your pilots, for instance. Lee, your senior pilot, is a highly skilled technician in his field, and you have used him as one of your personal guards at times. I know he has adequate weapon skills, and he takes pride in that assignment.
So? He and the others performed well in that fight with Osman.
Yes, but in fact it required nothing of him but acting the part of a traitor, if I understood you rightly. He's never had military training. He's an amateur at both security functions and at combat. He follows your orders, you are the captain, and he's known you for some time. But I sense a certain resentment to orders I've given. Not disobedience, he's too good a man for that. But he always wants an explanation, or even just to discuss what should get simple obedience.
Kai thought back to her experiences aboard Space Force training ships. Of course, everyone had been in the military, and military discipline had prevailed. Only the cadets asked questions, for the most part, and they were expected to obey orders without such questions at the time. She wondered if that was necessary here, for people without military training.
My concern is that when we're in combat again, your civilian crew members may be slow to respond to orders they don't understand, or, for those with more initiative, may do something unexpected. And either of these could put themselves or the ship in peril.
You're really worried about this? After we've been in combat and nothing like that has happened?
Captain, the last post-battle analysis from the most recent engagement shows that 20% of the crew with civilian background either questioned orders, delayed response, or engaged in unordered activity. Now, as it happens, none of those things was critical in the event, but that's not something we can depend on. And this latest incident, bringing aboard uninspected food items, failing to enter them on the ship's stores list, distributing them at a party neither you or I knew about, shows that a casual attitude toward standard rules had spread even to some of the military crew. You're going to have to decide what to do about it.
Kai frowned. She had not made any connection between the crew's performance during combat and the food poisoning incident. And for that matter, she hadn't thought of the crew's behavior as below standard.
You have a recommendation?
Hugh rubbed his nose.
You're not going to like it. We would be better off with an all-military crew. Retraining this one is going to be difficult, partly because the original crew members are in some way associated with your family, with your civilian identity, and partly because you have two distinct groups, the old crew, who have one kind of loyalty to you or your family, and the new crew, who haven't.
Kai steepled her hands and gave herself time to think.
Oh, I hadn't realized there was this problem.
You haven't really had time. You've been dealing with other crises, but it's something you need to consider.
I don't want to get rid of the people who've served with me through the whole thing. Loyalty cuts both ways.
I thought you'd say that. That's fine, that's laudable. But you're going to have to explain the reality of a warship to them. That's what we are now. I know you were thinking privateer at one time, but it's clear your entire focus now is on fighting a hostile force. We cannot afford to have any gaps in discipline.
I see that. I suppose the ones who can't make the transition would still be useful to Stella as civilian crew on other Vada ships, if they're willing.
Quite so. You don't have to throw anyone out in the cold. You can transfer them to jobs for which they're more suited. I recommend acting on this as quickly as possible.
But that means hiring new crew. I'm not sure how easily we can find what you're looking for. or how quickly they'll bond into a crew.
The sooner we look, the sooner we can find. And if I may, I'm not at all sure Ciudad's the best place to look. Not with you, any woman, I mean, in command.
I've been thinking about that. There's no reason they'd join up with us just to avenge the loss of their ship. They're more likely to blame us. But I can't tell the other captains that until we come out of FTL.
In the meantime, you could consider retraining those of your civilian crew who are willing. We have enough experienced veterans aboard to do that.
I'll talk to my... the old crew.
The remaining crew from Gary Tobai filed into Kai's office. She could not help but notice how casual they were compared to the ex-military personnel she'd hired. Respectful, but in their own individual ways.
We have a problem to solve. You all know that Vanguard is now acting as a military ship.
She was aware that this was not how she'd have started out with the Gannets, or even Hugh or Martin.
Yes, I just want to know why we can't at least carry some personal cargo for trading. Privateers still carry cargo, don't they?
Privateers do. And yes, when you signed on, that's what this ship was. But as things are now, operating as independent privateers will just get us killed when we run into a superior force of pirates. That's why we're teamed up with Shara's Gift and Bassoon. We're forming as an interstellar defense force, a real space navy.
From their expressions, some of them found this very bad news.
I know some of you won't like this. And you're not being shanghaied. You'll be able to leave the ship at the next port with pay due in your accounts and a bonus for hazardous duty.
Kai paused a moment. Some of them shifted their weight, but no one said anything.
Or if you'd rather, I can transfer you to Vada Transport, the real Vada Transport, and send you to work on the civilian traders Vada is once again operating.
I'll take that.
Others turned to look, and Kai saw the number two engineer, Foxham.
That's all right. No need to explain. It's not what you signed up for. My cousin Stella, who's running Vada Transport now, can always use more crew members as she acquires more ships. We'll pay your passage to Cascadia, where she is now.
Foxham nodded, looking shamefaced but relieved. Well, not everyone was cut out for the military life, and Kai could run the ship with a short crew of engineers if she had to.
The rest of you, if you want out of your contracts or to have them transferred to Vada Transport, let me or the exec know. We're due to drop out of FTL in another 2 days. I'll want a list by then. Those of you who want to stay, please remain behind. The rest of you are excused.
Those leaving began to clear the cabin. To Kai's relief, their expressions were more satisfied than worried. Facing her were still a half dozen, all those who had been on the Gary, including Lee.
I gather you want to be in this.
We've been with you from the beginning. Some of it's been the best time of my life. You bet I want to stay.
Me too.
It's not going to be easy, and here's why.
Quickly, Kai outlined the differences in discipline that Hugh had named most critical.
The thing is, if you continue to act like civilians, that could get you killed, or at worst, the whole ship lost. Yes, even just one of you. Let me outline just one scenario. Say we're boarded. You'll say, been there, done that, right? But I'm talking about actual penetration of the crew compartments, which didn't happen last time. If you don't do exactly what you're told, what you're supposed to, without thinking up any heroic bits that backfire...
Why would they backfire?
And there's another problem. Lee, you and the others are used to talking to me as the captain, yes, but also as Jerry Vada's little girl who needs taking care of.
Lee's eyes widened.
Yes, you are. That's understandable, but it has to stop. This is now a military ship. We will be maintaining military discipline. For some of you, including some of the best of you, that's going to be a considerable strain. You weren't trained for it. You're not used to it. You still have that history with me when we had a non-military relationship.
Lee opened his mouth and shut it. Mihar raised her hand. Kai nodded at her.
I don't understand why it has to be military, Captain. I mean, why does it have to be that way for us as well as them?
Because a ship's crew has to be all one piece, bonded. You have to trust the military, the present military, and they have to trust you. Everyone has to know that everyone else will follow orders quickly, precisely, without questioning, in any crisis. And the newer crew have to know that they are equal with you, that you're all on the same footing.
She paused again. They were listening intently, not rejecting it, but not yet completely convinced.
Look, you are my oldest crew. We've been through a lot. I can never forget that. I trust you and respect you at a level the others still have to earn. But I can't treat you differently and be fair to them.
Lee nodded, as did Mihar. Lee raised his hand this time before blurting out anything. Kai nodded.
I understand that, and I guess I understand the need to change, but I'm not sure I can change, and I sure don't know how fast.
Good points. Here's what I want to do. I've spoken to some of the military side about what might help you transition with as little difficulty as possible. You'll all need to do some physical training and some cross-training in other specialties. You'll all need to start learning, if you haven't, the correct procedures in the military sense. The parameters have narrowed. I'll be pickier about precision. I'll be pickier about discipline. I want you to get to know the fighting crew, not stay aloof from them. Lee, I know you've partied with them.
They grinned, and some of the tension left them.
You don't have to like them all, but you need to know them.
What if they... Sorry, Captain, if I may?
Kai nodded.
Some of them... they've made remarks. Personal.
That will stop. I've told them. No hazing, none of that. It happens in basic training, but this isn't standard basic training, and we don't have time for it. I've made up a cube with some of the procedural stuff for you. For instance, if someone makes an unwanted sexual advance, there's a procedure for reporting it. There will be consequences.
Mihar had stood beside her in that corridor when she and Mihar together had killed the mutineer leaders, when Gary Tobai died. Kai was not about to tolerate anyone hassling Mihar.
Another thing. No questioning orders, at least not without first asking permission, and never in action. That's going to be hard for some of you in particular.
She gave Lee a grin. He smiled back, sheepishly.
But there are reasons, among them gaining the trust of the military bridge crew. They have to know that you do what you're told first and ask questions later. And yes, before you ask, there's room for initiative and all that, but not now. Clear?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, Captain.
Here's the cube. Take it and look at it, first thing. If any of you change your mind and want out, either after looking at it or after trying the training, just let me know. I will always respect you and the service you've already given me, and Vada, no matter what you decide.
They all nodded.
Dismissed.
They all looked startled, but began moving out.
Lee, just wait a moment, would you?
Lee, Hugh had pointed out, was a critical person. He had been operating in a semi-military role for a long time now, and his cooperation and leadership would help with the crew transition, if he could stand the discipline. Lee pulled himself into an exaggerated version of attention.
Sure, Captain. Am I supposed to stand like this when I talk to you?
No, certainly not all the time. Lee, when my father sent you out as second pilot under Riel... You were starting to get bored, weren't you?
He had told her that once.
Yes, Captain.
His hand twitched. She knew he wanted to run it through his hair, as he often did while they talked.
And you told me you actually enjoyed the excitement, that being with a privateer didn't bother you at all, right?
Right, Captain.
Lee, you have a lot of potential. I think so, and Hugh thinks so. You already know how to use small arms. You've already shown yourself to be brave and resourceful. But I can't tell how much the tighter discipline will bother you. Some very brave and resourceful people just don't handle it well. Give me a clue.
Honestly, I don't know, Captain. I always kind of hankered after the hero stuff I saw in entertainment vids. Imagined myself as a space ranger type, but I knew it wasn't realistic. And the villains were usually the ones hyped up on discipline. All that standing in stiff rows and saluting and barking, yes sir, no sir, immediately sir, like trained animals.
Uh-huh. And if you keep thinking of military discipline in those terms, it will be harder for you, and you will resent it. Tell me, do you think my exec is competent?
Hugh? He's brilliant.
So if he tells you to do something, how likely is he to be right?
Hasn't been wrong yet. Oh, but I always ask, don't I? Or nearly always?
Yes, you do. And I know, and he knows, that it's not really insubordination, that desire to understand his reasoning. I suspect you're picking his brain, actually storing away how he thinks, so you can use it if you ever need it. But what do you think it looks like to the military crew? Like, for instance, my weapons officer.
Like I'm a snotty civilian who won't take orders without a lengthy explanation, I'm guessing.
Something like that, yes.
Kai waited, wanting to see if he could reason it out on his own.
So, what you want me to do is just follow orders, and if I want to know why and wherefore, ask him later if he's not too busy?
That would be perfect.
Lee thought that over. Kai could practically see the gears meshing.
And you think that if I adapt without an argument, the others will fall in line?
I think it would be easier for them. You've got a lot of influence, and rightly so. If you had gone in the military, they'd have recognized your leadership potential.
Do pilots have a rank in the military?
Why, is there someone you want to pull rank on?
This time, Lee did run his hand through his hair.
No, I just... If I'm going to have to learn all that military stuff, procedures and whatnot, I don't want to be just that civvy pilot who's finally gotten some sense.
Lee, you could never be that, not in my eyes. But yes, military pilots have rank. And I'll tell you what, you get through a training period, and I'll pin those...
Her mind raced. They still didn't have uniforms or rank insignia.
Those whatever we decide on when we buy them, on your shoulders myself at a formal ceremony. You and all the rest. Deal?
Captain, I don't think military commanders make deals. I thought only traitors made deals.
As Vada and as your captain, I make deals if I want to. And that's a promise.
Deal. Yes, ma'am. Captain.
After some thought and discussion with Hugh, Kai assigned Gordon Martin as the civilian crew's trainer.
You did a good job with Jim.
I've barely got Jim up to decent civ. And now I'm supposed to get him to actual soldiering?
You've done better than that, and you know it. Thing is, the civilian crew know you from way back. They trust you. They'll take things from you that they might not from, say, John Gannett. At least it'll be an easier beginning.
This has the potential to be a rolling donut.
I know, but it's worth a try.
So am I working with all of them, or just the ones who want to stay?
All of them for now, just in case we run into something when we drop out of FTL.
Right. Makes sense. How many hours a day? You know, in real training...
You'd have them clock round, yes. But they're still ship crew with real duties. Let's start with 4 hours and see where that gets us.
Nothing more was said for a few days, and Kai got no hints from the crew as she made her rounds through the ship. On the bridge, Lee seemed to be working well with Hugh, giving crisp yes sir and no sir to orders. Gordon's first 5-day report, a brief 1-page summary, indicated no significant problems. The very next day, Kai was walking the ship as she did every first shift, just passing the portside aft battery, when she heard a comment from someone in the aft environmental chamber inboard.
I didn't sign up for this. If I'd known I was getting shanghaied, I would...
They told you it was a privateer, didn't they? I mean, they told me.
Yeah, but a privateer's like a pirate. No rules, no saluting, none of this military stuff. Just, you know, adventure and a share of the loot.
You've never been on a privateer before, have you?
No, but I thought...
You thought? You should have asked somebody who had.
Kai decided to let them work it out for themselves. But she made a note to herself that environmental technician Twig should be herded into Stella's end of things as soon as possible. When Vanguard dropped out of FTL in the empty system that had been their next programmed jump point, Kai immediately contacted the other two ships and explained the change of plans. Captain Argelos of Shara's Gift looked confused, and Kai didn't blame him. She had been so certain that's where they should go before that jump.
So, we're not going to Sigadad?
No, not at first anyway. We need allies. Telling them that one of their ships has been destroyed and we couldn't save any of the crew is not the way to get help.
That makes sense. But what are we going to do, just the three of us? You really think we can accomplish anything?
Pettigrew, Bassoon's captain, looked hollow-eyed, as if he'd lost kilos of weight while they were in FTL flight.
I should try to find others from Bissonnet. I can't just ignore what happened.
Jurek didn't start with the resources he has now. We can do a lot with three good ships, and we'll have more once we have something to show others. Dan, I can't stop you if you want to leave, but consider, it's a big universe, and you have no idea where other Bissonnet ships might be. Please consider staying with us for now. We can help you, and you can certainly help us.
I don't know what's happening. Back home, I don't want to think about it, but...
I don't know what's happening back at Slaughter Key either. And I know my family's mostly dead.
Pettigrew looked down, then nodded slowly.
All right. You think we can do anything?
We did. We blew away some of their ships. We damaged others. Now...
Now, before anyone had too long to think, she had to get them busy about something they could do.
I need to know your munitions status.
I threw everything I had short of the galley sink. That's another thing. I can't fight without replacements.
Kai turned to Argelos.
And you?
The same. No, I think I ended up with 5 missiles in reserve. And what I had in trade goods might buy another 10 at a cut-rate weapons shop, if the Ansibles were up.
If the Ansibles were up, we'd all have less trouble. We're low, too. So the first thing to do is resupply. I have funds, for now. We need to find a place, come in looking strong, but not threatening.
That's a neat trick.
And see what we can pick up. I've been searching the catalogs, Vada catalogs, and there's a system near here that's listed as having a major outlet for munitions at good prices. They have manufacturers in the system. Even bigger than Milmart at Lastway, it looks like. Vada picked up cargo there before, in the old days.
Exactly the sort of place the pirates would be hanging out, I'd think.
Quite possibly, and if so, we're in trouble. I'm sure they'll have agents there, at least. I'll admit that the Vada database has warnings posted about it. Some fraud in the repair shops, for instance. Selling old parts for new, that kind of thing. But it's likely to have what we need, and it's only one jump away. We've got experienced weapons crew who can detect substandard munitions.
They both nodded.
So where is this gun shop?
One jump, 5 days. Oh, another thing. These shipboard Ansibles are making communications much easier, but we know the pirates have them. We need to find a way to protect our messages.
Scramble them? That's easy enough.
But it lets the pirates know someone else is using the tech. I'd rather they didn't know that, though the ones who got away back there may have noticed. Do you have any technical wizards who might be able to add a channel or whatever, something the pirates won't know exists?
Dozy Latin. She might be able to. She's been tinkering around with ours very carefully.
Nobody on my ship.
That's good news, Dan. If we can detect their transmissions, but they can't detect ours, we'll have a communications advantage, even if we can't understand anything they're saying. It's definitely worthwhile hanging about here for a few days while your tech works on the problem. She should be able to give us a yay or nay in 2 days, right?
I'll ask her.
Full scans, power up, and ready to jump out if trouble arrives. We can risk spacing at a half light second, so we can use conventional tight beam until we get the new channels on the Ansibles.
Kai wondered whether to talk to the other captains about Hugh's recommendations that they train all the crew in military skills, but decided to wait for more secure communications if they could get them. She considered contacting Stella to let her know the ship was still intact, but decided it was too risky. So far, no one but she herself knew that Stella had one of the small Ansible units. If the pirates realized that one unit was on a planet or station, they might attack it, and she would not be there to protect Stella and Toby. Best to wait until she could use a system Ansible, where her signal would be drowned in a million others. She didn't analyze the surge of relief that decision gave her. Dozy Latin's solution, as she explained the next day to Kai over the reconfigured system, was not elegant at all, but functional. Kai soon felt drowned in detail, in the technical complexity of the explanation.
So, the short of it is, you've modified the system so the pirates won't detect it, and it still works?
On screen, Latin was a thin, unkempt woman whose jacket pockets bulged with data wands. She pulled one out.
Yeah, it's all on here. Your communications staff could have a copy when we get somewhere we can pass information hard. They don't want to be just following directions forever, and I'll be working on a better...
Pettigrew winked at Kai, the first humor she'd seen from him.
That's great, Dozy, but I need to talk to Captain Vada later, huh?
Latin smiled and ducked away from the screen. Kai was not surprised to see that she almost ran into someone coming onto Pettigrew's bridge. Typical tech, that, striding along with head down, concentrating on anything but her surroundings.
Now what?
Now we can make our final plans, how we want to come in. I'll send your nav computer the coordinates of our next stop, on the new channel.
Kai pointed to her comm officer, and the data went out. Argelos's face appeared on the screen, now split to show both the other captains.
Gretna? Doesn't have the best reputation with Bissonette traders.
Dodgy repairs? That's all my company notes say.
They never did sign off on the full commercial code. They pad their station bills, too, according to my database.
Oh, a lot of places do that. My implant does have a yellow flag, but it's limited to several repair facilities and a caution about certain subsections of contracts related to the commercial code. But three armed ships like ours? Unless we find a whole pirate fleet there, we should be able to handle anything we find.
So how do we announce ourselves? We have three different flags and we are all armed. Suppose they take us for pirates.
You want us to decide on an organizational name now?
Well, might be wise.
I think we should wait until we have a chance to acquire some insignia. Like this, with our ships bearing different flags on their IDs, our crew in different uniforms. No way to prove we do belong together other than circumstance. I don't think we have much credibility.
He's right, Captain Vada. I think we'd do better to come in as a group hanging together for security, which is really what we are at this point. We can certainly talk about what we want to call ourselves and maybe pick up uniforms or patches or whatever at Gretna, but I don't see that we can afford to look ridiculous right from the start.
I see your point. But let's talk over what we are so we can gather the materials we need with the least waste of time.
We need an organization with a name. We're not going to get anywhere as an association of privateers. Something solid, respectable. Something defense, force, or fleet, or...
Space Force.
United Planet Space Force? It needs to be something that makes a good acronym.
We're very dull. We let any nicknames take care of themselves.
Space Service?
Combined United Space Service?
There's always Space Patrol.
In all the years, however calculated, of human presence in space, no one had ever called a military organization Space Patrol, which was inextricably associated with bad children's programming.
Space Rangers?
Special Ops name, Rangers. We need a name that implies a solid military force authorized by a legitimate government.
Which we don't have.
Details. It doesn't matter, really. Who's to know?
So we just do it. Space Defense Force. How's that?
Sounds good to me.
Pettigrew nodded.
So, we become the first flight or squadron or something of the SDF?
Not first anything. We want the opposition to think there's more of us, including some they don't know about. Pick another number, not too high.
Third?
Third fleet. About right. When we have four fleets, we can always shift ourselves to first, if that matters.
Kai could see the others trying it out mentally. Finally, they all nodded.
We need a design, a logo. I've got a junior engineer who's talented that way.
How about a spiral galaxy with the formation of ships shooting a bad guy?
Too complicated, but I like the galaxy. It implies more than one system. Galaxy and maybe the small formation of ships across it?
Fine. Now, we need to get our ships marked with the Joint Force logo. I'm not talking about re-registration. The original flags are fine, just an indication of our organization. Unit patches as well as ship patches.
Uniforms?
Not worth the expense right now. And to some extent, the different uniforms reinforce the idea of a multi-system force.
If Gretna's got munitions, they're bound to have someone used to turning out military insignia. Even a rough sketch should be enough.
Greater Gretna's advertising started at the jump point, blaring from the welcoming beacon as soon as they had cleared down jump scan turbulence. Welcome to Gretna, guns for the galaxy, always a fair deal, a safe port in any political storm. Honest traders, welcome. Tramps and layabouts, stay away. You know who you are.
That's an interesting combination. Safe port in a political storm, but only for those we already know and like?
Did your company ever trade here before?
Not that I know of. We bought our munitions from a dealer in our headquarters system. They might have bought here for all I know, though I wasn't in that end of things.
For such a supposedly busy marketplace of a system, there was little traffic showing up on Longscan. Shuttles between the planet and space station, 4 small in-system cargo haulers on logical routes to the other planets, all with Gretna ID beacons, and a single inbound cargo ship whose beacon identified her as Dryas, from Polson. Kai queried her implant and found no information on Polson. The ship was barely crawling along, an approach that would give her plenty of time to gather information about system defense. Kai checked the course and alerted her weapons crews, though she didn't think a single pirate ship would attack 3 armed ones traveling much faster. Shortly after that, Greater Gretna's in-system militia hailed them. Kai answered as they had agreed. The uniformed man on the screen was one of the palest humans Kai had ever seen, with ice-blue eyes and hair of an unattractive pale yellow.
Vega, eh? We don't have you in the database. Cascadian Registry? Well, don't see many Cascadians out here. You're the ones all touchy about the manners, aren't you?
Cascadian Registry, yes. Ship was salvage. I had to repaper her.
And those with you, don't they have functioning comms?
Yes, but since we're traveling together, it would save your time to talk to just one of us. That's Shara's Gift, Slaughter Key Registry, and Bassoon out of Bissonette.
And you're traveling together because...
The universe has gotten dangerous. We were attacked by pirates. We got away, but we need to resupply. If we'd been solo...
You've come to the right place. We've got the best prices and the best quality you'll find anywhere. Now, the rules are, we don't tolerate no troublemakers or people who can't pay the bills. We have a nice place here, and we intend to keep it that way. You'll all need local ID, whether you're staying on the ship or out in the station. Port security will take care of that for you. 50 credits ahead, and don't try hiding anyone, or it'll be a stiff fine. No transients down planet. And don't think you can sneak past security. You're not going to fit in.
What was that about?
I think they're fish bellies.
Fish bellies?
Then she remembered. Some systems had been settled not by the usual mix of human types, but very deliberately by those of one phenotype, or one religion. A few of these had populations with minimal melanin, and the rude term for these among more... She tried not to think normal societies was fish bellies.
My family didn't use that term. Though, if he is one, I can see where the name came from. Seems an odd choice. But then phenotype he always does if there's not a good environmental reason for it. Maybe there's something on their planet to explain it.
Yeah, fish bellies are strange. I met 2 of them once in a bar in Alray, years back. Sat there the whole time complaining about mixing. Finally got a fight started and then told the station police that it was everyone else's fault.
Oh, any inbred group will do that. There are some strains of genetic humods who go out of their way to be pushy and then complain. I don't suppose fishies are any worse than anyone else.
I hope not. If these are, fish bellies, we have to deal with them.
Lee gestured at his shock of yellow hair.
I wouldn't trust them a centimeter. They give people like me a bad name.
They're merchants. At least the ones we'll be dealing with. As long as we make sure the merchandise meets specs and they know our money's good, we shouldn't have a problem. Though I will be alert, of course.
Gretna Main Station had ample docking spaces. Trade was down here, too. But the station master refused to assign the 3 ships adjoining berths, on the grounds of station rotational balance. It made sense, but Kai felt a twinge of uneasiness. From the aft external monitors of Vanguard, she could not see even the aftmost tip of Shara's Gift or Bassoon, though there were no ships between Vanguard and them. port security waited at dockside, ready to issue local IDs to the entire crew and collect the fee. All of them were as pale as the face Kai had seen on screen before. Though some had more pink color than others, all had pale eyes and hair. They were efficient about taking information and issuing IDs. Tags with name, ship's name, and a local code number spat out the end of a machine in just a few seconds. The one with the most glitter on his uniform stepped forward.
You're now free to move about the station. You must wear the ID tag clearly visible at all times.
Kai nodded. His assistants pulled a cover over the tag-making machine, and they all left dockside.
That was odd. No welcoming speech, nothing.
I'm going to call the others.
Ansible?
No. I know that's the most secure method we've got, but I want to know how the station's own system works. We'll need to meet. There's bound to be some central location. Captain's Guild, if nothing else. Let's get our security monitors mounted dockside.
Right away. Munitions draw thieves on the most law-abiding ports.
Law-abiding port or not, Gretna Station had a Crown and Spears branch office just two doors away from the Captain's Guild. Kai found that Vada Transport had a sizable balance there, drawing minimal interest, and the manager accepted her identity without question. He ushered her into his private office and set an obvious privacy device on his desk, flicking it on.
Trading in munitions?
Kai wondered why he didn't trust the privacy devices no doubt built into the entire branch, but that was not something to ask.
Trade goes where the profit goes, in these unsettled times.
Of course. If you want advice, I'd go with General Munitions instead of Gretna Munitions Outlet.
Thank you. That's the recommendation in Vada's records as well. The notation is that quality control is better. I'm glad to have a recent confirmation. I need to pick up medical supplies as well. Any recommendations there?
Supplies alone or medically trained personnel? You might be able to pick up some of the latter at the local indenture auction house.
Indenture auction house?
He looked down, running his fingers along the side of his desktop display.
You haven't been to Gretna before. There's a long-standing tradition of indentured labor here.
You mean slaves?
They prefer not to call them slaves. Criminals working off their court costs and fines is the way Gretnans look at it. Recently, with less trade coming through, it's become more obvious. At any rate, if someone buys out a contract, they can get contracted labor fairly cheaply. I happen to know there's a surplus of medically trained personnel right now. The listing's available. And you probably noticed, the native Gretnans are pretty much all of one phenotype, and they distrust those of other phenotypes. With your, I'd be careful if I were you.
With her darker skin, he meant.
So why does Crown and Spears deal with them?
But the answer was obvious.
Trade and profit, I know. All right, but I thought there was a prohibition in the commercial code about slavery.
There is. Gretna isn't a signatory to the full code, and as I said, they don't call it slavery. Under their legal system, working out a debt or a sentence is quite legal. We asked about that before opening a branch office here. Our legal staff have reviewed it regularly, and they say it's within the law as it now stands.
Do they make up charges against transients? Ship personnel, for instance?
They say not, but I would say it's happened. Recently, with Ansible's down and trade in decline, I suspect it's become more common. More often, a ship runs out of funds, can't pay the docking or air charges, and they seize the ship and crew. Under their law, anyone on such a ship is equally guilty.
I don't have any notations about that in the Vada database.
No. Well, Vada has always maintained a healthy balance, and usually unloaded, loaded, and was out of here in just a few days. They don't prey on the prosperous who can always pay a few extra charges. We've tried to tell the Gretnans they're damaging their own economy. 50 years ago, they had much more trade coming through and even some outside investment, but they don't want advice from outsiders, they say.
I'll be careful. I have no intention of overdrawing our account. Do you know if they're trading with this current crop of pirates?
I couldn't say, really. We have a very small staff here, and there are security concerns. I've been told not to pry.
His expression said more. Kai could easily imagine the pirates dealing with Gretna for those confiscated ships. Or their crew.
There's another ship in the inbound lanes. I didn't see anything about its arrival time on the notice boards. We looked at the beacon as we passed them, and it said Polson. I wondered if it was pirates.
I doubt it. Polson's a very small colony. We don't have a branch there yet. Mostly genetic humods, like a lot of startups. Humods aren't popular here. There's been trade in the past, but the current situation has made everyone more jumpy. Where it is, they're not being allowed to dock without special inspections and restrictions, and so far they've refused.
That sounded more like pirates than legitimate traders to Kai. She wondered why the manager didn't think so. She opened her mouth to ask. He took the call, then turned to her.
I'm sorry, Captain Vada, but there is another matter I must attend to. Please don't hesitate to contact me again if we can assist you with your trading.
Within 4 hours, she had compared her balance with the daily dock charges and the prices listed at General Munitions, determined how much she could afford, and settled in for a meal at the Captain's Guild to discuss with Argelos and Pettigrew how the purchases could be allocated among ships. The Captain's Guild was almost empty. 3 pale-skinned officers, obviously local, sat at the far end of the dining room while out of earshot. Even so, despite the telltales glowing on their table to indicate that its security block was on full, Kai felt uneasy enough to put her own privacy device on the table.
We're going to need medical as well as munitions. How are you fixed for that?
I have 8 med boxes and a small operating theater. We have 2 surgeons and 9 other medical personnel, mostly direct patient care, but 1 specialist in medical imaging. I think that's all my ship needs, really.
That's more than I have. I'm impressed.
More than I have, too. I have 5 med boxes and 2 Space Force-trained medics. You've been on that Merc ship. What did they have?
It looked like a military hospital. Operating suites, trauma sets, lots of med boxes, lots of personnel. I'm assuming also lots of equipment, though I didn't see all of it by any means.
Was it a specialized hospital ship?
No. One of their larger warships, somewhat larger than Vanguard.
I can see if we get in more battles, we may need some additional medical capacity, but I don't know where I'm going to put it. I guess we could move some functions outboard to one of the cargo holds.
If we become the force we've talked about, the only cargo we'll be carrying is our own necessary supplies.
Argelos scrubbed his head with both hands.
You're right. I guess I'm still thinking like a trader privateer.
I had the same problem. It took a round of food poisoning to make me realize what was missing.
So, do you think this place has anything in the way of medical supplies?
Kai told them what the Crown and Spears manager had told her about the Gretnan labor market.
I looked, and they list 46 medical personnel, including 2 trauma surgeons, 3 surgical nurses, a medical imaging tech, a neuropsych specialist, and others. I hate the thought of buying people, but...
Well, we wouldn't keep them as indentured. What's this likely to cost?
I don't know. I have the feeling that if they know we want them, the price will go up. According to Crown and Spears, we can bid through an agent, and the manager's willing to act as our agent. He says he often does, and they won't know that we're the ones bidding. He and I both hope. The munitions are listed already. We know what they cost. Same with medical supplies. But we need to maintain a reserve.
She explained about the Gretnan's habit of seizing ships and crews that defaulted on any payments.
I'll just have to set a limit for what we can spend at the auction and hope that yields something. Meantime, I've looked at your supply requests, and this is what I can afford.
She handed over the hard copies. Argelos and Pettigrew looked them over.
I can add some credits to that, but it's not much. It would cover my ship's docking fees, air fees, and crew rations.
That's a big help. I'm sure Crown and Spears would set up an account for you if you don't want to merge with the Vada accounts.
Merging's fine. We're already sharing risks. We might as well share resources.
And I still have a little cargo to sell off. That may help, and it clears out a hold for military supplies.
Excellent. Now, since neither of you has beam weapons, and I have 2, I thought I'd assign each of you more than 1/3 of the missiles we can afford. That still won't fill your racks. Well, not unless your cargo sells very high, but it should give you something to work with.
That's very generous. Thank you.
Yes, thanks. But don't leave yourself too short.
Kai went back to Crown and Spears after lunch to give the manager her limits for the indentured auction and explain what she was looking for.
I'll do my best. Most bidders are agents for someone. In fact, you aren't my only client this time. With any luck, they won't figure it out. I think the prices won't be too high at this auction. The hospitals and clinics here and down on the planet are fully staffed, so medical personnel have been selling as general labor, especially if they're, more like you.
Yes. Well, I appreciate your service.
Back at the ship, Kai told Hugh how she had allocated the munitions purchases.
We could fight an engagement. I'd have to hope we weren't outnumbered.
We have to have docking fees, and we need more supplies than just munitions. And I'm hoping to get some medical personnel at, auction.
Kai explained about the indenture policy.
Oh, that's disgusting. I hadn't heard that about them before. What about the ship we passed? Hear anything more about it?
The Crown and Spears manager knew about Polson. Legitimate small colony, he said. Apparently, the Gretnans want to run them through some additional, and no doubt expensive, inspection procedure because they're genetic humods. So they're keeping them at a distance.
They don't like us. They don't like humods. I'm coming to agree with Lee about these people. Fairly nasty lot, aren't they? Are you going to try selling these fishies anything?
Nothing interesting. If you find anything innocuous on inventory, I'd be glad to make a little more. We're going to be tight, and we don't want to be caught short.
Quite so. I'll see what I can find and check with you before listing it.
By the middle of the next shift, deliveries started arriving at dockside. Kai could not help noticing that the Gretna workers, all as pale as the port security personnel, avoided looking at her and her crew when she faced them and spoke only when spoken to. But behind her back, as the security monitors proved, they stared and muttered to one another. The mutters, amplified and recorded by the monitors, did nothing to improve the crew's attitude toward the locals.
I told you they were fish bellies. All right, I have blue eyes and light hair too, but I'm not like they are. I don't care what color someone's skin and eyes are, as long as they're decent. These idiots seem to think color's what makes them decent.
You call them fish bellies? That's as bad as they're calling some of us mutters.
It's not, because I'm not calling them that because of their color. It's their attitude that makes them fishies.
Well, stay in the ship then. It's hard enough dealing with them without having to keep a lid on you too.
Kai did not mention that his recent training in military etiquette seemed to have vanished under the first real stressor. That would come later. She had left Hugh supervising the unloading dockside. Now she took a call from him.
Better get out here, Captain. We've got a complaint from port security. They don't like our monitors.
There's nothing wrong with our monitors. We aren't spying on anyone else.
They want to see the captain.
Kai headed for dockside, glancing at the bridge display from those monitors as she went. A man in port security uniform stood next to Hugh. The Gretna workers, who should have been moving pallets into Vanguard's cargo holds, were clustered, heads together, near the dock entrance. She reached out and increased magnification on one image. Yes, they were smirking.
I'm Captain Vada. How may I help you?
The man didn't quite meet her eyes.
Private security monitors are illegal. Only law enforcement is authorized to place monitoring devices. Such devices must be removed at once.
I'm sorry. Everywhere else I've been, dockside security is the responsibility of the ship owner.
This isn't everywhere else. This is Gretna, a place for honest people. People who don't need to steal.
Kai managed not to raise her eyebrows.
No one proclaims honesty as much as the liar.
If you don't trust our honesty, how can we trust yours? Only the dishonest are suspicious.
We'll remove the monitors and replace them with less detectable ones or human eyes.
Kai had the weapons crews free to stand watches outside the ship, if that's what it was going to take.
Very well. No more cargo will be loaded until you do.
Hugh, see that our equipment is removed from dockside. I will wait here while you arrange it.
Very shortly, the Gannets came out and detached the monitors from the dockside bulkheads. Kai followed them back into the ship without another word to the officer, leaving Hugh to supervise loading once more. John Gannett turned to her as soon as they were well inside the ship.
They're up to something, Captain.
Kai was suddenly angry, so angry that she felt the back of her neck burning.
I could just figure that out.
Yes, ma'am. Reckon you'll want some special surveillance?
Kai struggled to hold down the anger enough to think clearly.
Yes. Inspect every missile and its control system. Make sure they're not sabotaged in some way. and that they are what the invoice says. Check the other supplies, too. I wouldn't put it past these people to sell us contaminated food. Internal surveillance in case they get the notion to wander out of the cargo holds or stick their own little devices somewhere. And I'd better go talk with the other captains.
Kai called them and suggested meeting at the Captain's Guild again. The others, she found, had had the same annoying experience.
It's our dock space. They charge enough and they don't even provide surveillance. I don't see why they object to us having it. It's an insult.
They've got to be up to something.
I know. But we need the munitions and other supplies. I'm sure you've already thought of this, but have your people check...
Everything. I am, believe me. Do you have external video monitors on your ship?
Like Nearscan?
No, actual video. We have external monitors that retract in flight, but in dock we can bring them up to see most of the hull. I've got mine out now, just in case.
Kai, remembering the near attack at Lastway, felt a cold chill down her back. She had not thought of that. If the Gretnans were up to something like that... But surely, if they attacked ships in dock, it would be in her father's files.
All we have are the docking cams fore and aft. They don't begin to cover the whole hull.
Though they could be useful, the Gretnans couldn't keep her from using equipment on the ship itself.
I don't think they'll attack us. I think they're more likely to cheat us some way, or try to. I've put two of my crew on watch at the cargo bay, just keeping an eye out.
Pilferage we can handle. But I've been on a ship attacked from the outside near a station, so everyone keep an eye on the traffic around us. We can do that with Nearscan, even though we don't have true video. I have to say I'm surprised at Osman on this one. I'd have thought he'd be more careful.
Second shift the next day, the Crown and Spears manager called her.
I've got your personnel. Do you want them all to report to your ship? They're all right here in the office with the guards.
I'm on my way.
They're, listed as general labor. You said you needed more cargo handlers, right?
The warning in that was clear. He didn't want the Gretnans to know that she had specifically asked for medical personnel.
That's right. We have a lot of stuff to shift. So does Shara's gift. We'll share them back and forth for a while. I'll be there shortly with Captain Argelos.
She called Argelos.
I just heard from Crown and Spears. Our cargo handlers are in his office waiting for us to come pick them up.
But...
Cargo handlers. That's what we needed.
Even over a comm line, she could hear the gears clicking in his head.
Right. I'm just hoping you got strong ones. We have some heavy loads over here.
Meet me at Crown and Spears. We'll divide them up. I better bring some guards along. I'm sure the Gretnans won't want these people wandering around unguarded.
Right.
At Crown and Spears, she found the manager's office and the corridor outside crowded with men and women in skimpy gray tunics and short pants, their feet in what looked like cardboard sandals. They all looked undernourished and hopeless. They were all darker than the typical Gretnan. The Gretnan guards, pink and fleshy, smirked over them. They held weapons.
You may go. I have my own guards.
But I...
Under your law, the indenture owner is responsible for security. I checked on that. These people are mine now. I will use my own guards.
They looked at each other. Then the one with a couple of stripes on his sleeve shrugged, and the Gretnan guards shuffled out.
Well, let's see what we have here.
The manager handed Kai a list. A stack of ID folders was on his desk. Her eyes widened. He had bought 18 people for the amount she'd stated. Everyone she'd marked as especially interesting, plus an assortment of others.
Please, I'm really not general labor. I'm a trained medic.
I am aware of your listed qualifications. At the moment, it is in everyone's best interests to concentrate on our immediate need for cargo handlers.
Kai glanced from corner to corner of the office, hoping they'd understand. She saw a dawning awareness.
Now, Captain Argelos, from this list, I'm prepared to lend you numbers 5, 7, 9, and 11, along with 15, 16, and 17. Those numbers stand forward.
Those numbers included one of the trauma surgeons, two surgical nurses, and four general nurses, two of them certified for advanced practice.
That's fine. They look capable enough. Stenson, take these workers back to our ship. Make sure they don't stray.
Sergeant Gannett, take the rest back to Vanguard while I settle up with the manager here. Captain Argelos, you'll want their ID packets.
A half hour later, she was back aboard Vanguard. As she came aboard, she felt the tension in her crew.
Where are they?
In the mess, eating the first decent meal they've had since they were taken. These people.
Kai knew Hugh didn't mean the new ones.
I'm going down to explain to them. Here are their ID packets. Look them over when you get a chance, just in case there's a problem we need to know about.
Vada's War, Command Decision, is continued on the next CD.